السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. We always commence by praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sending complete blessings and salutations upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his entire household, all his companions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them all, and may he bless every single one of us and grant us every form of goodness. Beloved brothers and sisters, in life sometimes we may hear words that hurt us. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard words that hurt him as well, where people did not understand and realize that he was in fact the best of creation, being sent in order to remove mankind and jinnkind from darkness to light. And yet they treated him badly. And yet they began to say things about him that were very hurtful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this in many places in the Quran. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to read the stories of the messengers who were sent before him in order that he may achieve comfort by reading their stories. The message we have, any one of us who has any form of a problem, if we go into the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and read his seerah or study his blessed life and look at the turmoil that he has been through and how he dealt with it, and how much at peace he was, and how desperate he was to get the message across. And if we learn what type of suffering he went through as the best of creation, by the will of Allah, we will achieve a lot of comfort and peace. The same applies if we were to read the stories of the previous messengers. We will see how much they suffered. Yet they were the chosen ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With us, we are nowhere near those in rank. Nowhere near them in any way whatsoever. Why then do we think we are not prone to going through errors or going through difficulties and issues in our lives? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us, and may he make us from those who can learn a lesson. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verse number 617 of Surah Sad, اصبر على ما يقولون واذكر عبدنا داود ذا الأيد إنه أواب. Endure that which they are uttering. Be patient regarding that which they are saying. And remember, a great worshipper of ours by the name of Dawood, the one who was powerful. Indeed, he was oft turning to us. Awwab, a beautiful name, which means one who is oft turning to Allah, often turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the awwabin, from those who continue turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Dawood alayhi salatu wa salam, mention is made of several incidents that occurred in his life. One of them is when he fell prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking Allah's forgiveness because something happened. What happened? This is mentioned in Surah Sad. It is a lesson for all of us. Sometimes, you know, a person comes to us with a story and tells us that, you know, that person has oppressed me, and that person stole my wealth, and that person did this and that person did that, and we immediately say that person was wrong. They deserve to be penalized. They should be punished. What they did to you was very bad. But we have not yet listened to the other side of the story. So that is a problem. We could be really being headed in the wrong direction altogether. Exactly this happened to the Prophet Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. A man came to him and said, you know, I want you to judge between us, myself and my brother. We are in partnership in business. This is something very interesting. Brothers, I think there is perhaps a cable there that is disturbing us. So he says, this is my brother. He says, this is my brother. We have in partnership 100 sheep. 99 are his and one is mine. And now he is telling me that even that one day, can I get it somehow? You know, he was claiming the one. So Dawood alayhi salam said he shouldn't be claiming that one. And then he uttered a beautiful, powerful statement saying, and this is something that we all should learn from, وَإِنَّ كَثِيرًا من الخلطاء ليبغي بعضهم على بعض إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وقليل ما هم. He says, indeed, many of those who are in partnership would like to consume what their partners own, except those who believe and do good deeds. Subhanallah. This is something powerful and amazing. So what this would mean is, when we are in partnership, brothers and sisters, it is very important to write things down. Did you know that a partnership is not the ideal system? It is a permissible system. That is if, for example, it is required. Otherwise, it is best to abstain from partnership. The best, the most wise of the lot, the most successful of the lot are those who are not in partnership. When we engage in partnership, sometimes one may want to eat the other. So this is why, if for some reason we have had to go into a partnership, make sure you are gone into partnership with someone who has a big heart and they are honest. And make sure you've written everything down, and you too need to have a very big heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Brothers have literally taken up arms against one another just because this man used to steal so much, according to me. May Allah protect us. And according to him, he was justified and it belongs to him. This is why partnerships, best avoid them. This verse says, the only exception, those who believe in Allah and do good deeds, with them the partnership won't be a bad idea. My brothers and sisters, I discourage you very strongly from engaging in partnerships. If you have them, try your best to have your own thing, even if it is smaller. Because wallahi, you rather have love and earn less than to create huge issues. The man whom you earned a lot of money with, tomorrow you don't talk to him, you don't want to see him, he's enemy number one. Why? Just because you had a problem worth 10, 20,000 rands or dollars, perhaps a million or two. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us barakah in our wealth. Sometimes this happens with brothers, and this is why, even with your father, if you are in partnership, write things down. Make sure everything is clear. The scent you have taken, people should know. The scent he has taken, everyone should know. There should be clarity. But Dawood alayhi salam, he uttered a statement that, you know what, this man should not be claiming this one sheep of yours. And after he said it, immediately he realized his mistake. What was his mistake? He did not listen to the other side of the story. And he issued a ruling. Whether the ruling was right or wrong is not made mention of. But the mere fact that he immediately understood that this was a test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I was wrong, because no matter what, I did not give the other party a chance to clarify. From this we learn a very big lesson. Allahu Akbar. The lesson is, brothers and sisters, we are not qualified to judge until we listen carefully to both sides and we are unbiased. If we are biased, we are not qualified to judge. Not at all. And if we are not biased and it really requires our judgment, make sure that we listen to both sides of the story. The problem today, we judge people without being required or requested to judge. It has nothing to do with us, and we've already painted the woman with a different paintbrush, or the brother or anyone else, and we have already been judgmental. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us protection. Like we say, when there is a dispute, without listening to the other side, if you were to issue a ruling, you are wrong. Unless you make it clear that, look, according to what you are saying, the primary findings seem to be, according to what you are saying, this. But I still have to listen to what the other party has to say, and thereafter the judgment might turn completely and flip. So many times we are called to arbitrate by a party. And after we listen to the other side, we find that the ruling is in favor of the other side. And the party comes to us, but Sheikh, I involved you. Why did you take his side? That is justice, my brothers and sisters. If you involve the person, it does not mean he's going to take your side. If he is just, he will side with what is right, whether it is in your favor or not. May Allah bless us. So this is something very important that we've learned. Verse number 24 of Surah Sa'd. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us strength and goodness. And we've learned a lot about partnership and dealings as well. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of one of the prime reasons of revealing the Quran. Do you know why the Quran was revealed? If I may ask, people might say it was revealed as a book of guidance. That is also a correct answer. It was revealed for this reason, for, you know, for shifa. Yes, that is correct. It was revealed as the word of Allah. Yes, correct. In Surah Sa'd, verse number 29, Allah makes mention of the reasons. Allah says, كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب. This blessed book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is in order that its verses be deeply pondered over. How many of us have done that? Very few. Wallahi, without a joke, very few. Allah says, we sent it down so that its verses can not only be looked at and the translation looked at, but be deeply pondered over. لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. For them to deeply ponder over its verses. That's why we sent our word. And on top of that, وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. For it to be a reminder or a warning for those with sound intellect. We have a sound mind. You need to know Allah is the owner of knowledge. He knows everything. He made us. He created us. So if we think we are know-it-alls, we actually are not. Because there is one who made us who knows it all. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to understand His knowledge and the fact that ours is nothing compared to His. No, not. In one verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أُوتِيتُم مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. In Surah Al-Isra, Allah says, and we have not given you knowledge except very little. A little droplet. The head of a pin worth of knowledge. That's what we have. And yet we think, you know what, I know everything. You know, Allah does not exist. Some people say, no, there's no God, you know, and so on. And you try and think, amazing, this brother here, his brain, subhanallah, may Allah grant us goodness. We don't even want to comment about it. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, nay, you need to understand. When we reveal the verses, ponder very deeply over them. Brothers and sisters, I call on you to pick up the translation of the Quran. Like I said the other day, there are many translations. The translation is only an attempt of man to explain what he believes is the explanation of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Arabic. Many translations, the one that I found with the simplest language is one known as Sahih International. That's what it's known as. I found it to be the easiest to understand. The language is so simple, it's like what I'm speaking now. Something that we can very easily understand. So if you were to look it up, Sahih International, you will find it is a very, very simple explanation of the Quran. It is my duty and yours, and you are going to be asked, and so will I. Did you try to understand my word? We sent down the book, and we wrote in the book that the reason why we revealed the book was for you to ponder deeply over its verses. You didn't do that for 70 years, and you spread a rumor to say it's haram to read the translation. People spread rumors, opposite to what Allah is saying here. Do you know the Quran was sent to people who were unlettered? They could not read or write. They understood it perfectly well, mashallah. With us we can read and write. So if we do not understand part of it, yes, there will be verses that need explanation. But the warning is, do not arrive at your own conclusions. That's the only warning. When a question arises in your mind, you need to ask those with knowledge. Those whom you are assured of their credentials, you ask them, look, my brother, I read this verse, Sheikh, and I don't understand. I read the meaning of it. Wallahi, let us create this environment where we can ask each other, or we can ask the scholars, and let 20, 50 people come and ask the scholars, I read this verse, please can you explain it to me? Subhanallah, you will find those in your midst ready to explain it to you. But the fact that you are asking the question already shows you are pondering deeply over the verses of Allah. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something amazing. And a lot of us are guilty. We are old now. We are almost close to our graves. We've never tried to understand the word of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet, when we wanted to become the accountant or the doctor, we studied 200 books. Each one was bigger than the Quran. And we had an examination for each one. And we passed, mashallah, with A's, flying colors. You know every detail about, you know, all the other fields, mashallah. But come to Allah and His kalam, which is going to take us by the will of Allah into the coolness of our graves. We haven't even made an effort. May Allah bless us. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. I've already translated that. Verse number 29 of Surah Sad. In Surah Az-Zumar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us who are the best of people. Who are the worshippers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, give good news to a certain category of people. Give good news to a certain category of my worshippers. Let's see what he says. Verse number 17 and 18 of Surah Zumar. Allah says, فَبَشِّرْ عِبَادِي. Give good news to my worshippers. Which worshippers of mine? الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلَ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. Those who listen to speech. Those who listen to what is being said. But only follow the best of what was said. Why is this being said? Brothers and sisters, the messengers of Allah were protected from error. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever he uttered was from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, straight. And it was revelation. It was either part of the Quran or part of his sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Undeniable, inspired by Allah. That's it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept him perfect. But with us, Malik ibn Anas, rahimahullah, the imam of Dar al-Hijrah, of Medina Munawwara, he looked at the grave of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, pointed at it, and he says, ما من أحد إلا ويؤخذ من كلامه ويرد إلا صاحب هذا القبر صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says, there is nobody from amongst us except that you take some of what they say and you must reject some of what they say besides the one lying or resting in this blessed grave صلى الله عليه وسلم. So whatever I say, I might make a mistake or two. It doesn't mean you discount me in totality, but you discount the errors. And if the same applies to you. If you were meant to be discounted because of one mistake you've made, today all of us would be discounted, because who can put up their hands who's never made a mistake? Not one of us. There you are. So this is what Allah says, give good news to my worshippers whom they listen to what is being said. You listen to this, you listen to that, you've heard the talks, the speech, you've heard what there was to say, but what do you follow? You follow the best from it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us blessedness. May He make us from those who can distinguish between right and wrong. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And this is why when He says those who listen to the best, they follow, meaning they listen to everything but they follow the best. He says here in verse number 23 of the same surah, الله نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها. It is Allah who revealed the best speech, the best book. Look, one verse He tells you follow that which is the best, and after that He says, look, we reveal the best. What does that mean? That means this Quran is a blessing for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a deep understanding. Allah says, indeed, it is Allah who has sent down the best of speech, a book wherein its verses are quite similar. You know, you hear so many verses that sound quite similar. The messages are diverse. And it is repeated so much. The verses are repeated even in recitation. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, not only are they similar, but they are read often, often repeated. And then He says, the skins of those who fear Allah shiver. They get goosebumps when they hear the verses. Allah نزل أحسن الحديث كتابا متشابها مثانية تقشعر منه جلود الذين يخشون ربهم. Those who have some form of fear of Allah, their skins develop goosebumps when they hear the verses of Allah being recited. Does it ever happen to us? I'm sure it does. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Then He says, those who believe, those who are humble, those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, ثُمَّ تَلِينُ جُلُودُهُمْ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ إِلَىٰ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then their skins and their hearts relax, soften up towards the remembrance of Allah. Once you hear the verse, it gives you goosebumps. When you have goosebumps, your skin is tightened. And once the verse is over, subhanAllah, your skin is relaxed. And your heart becomes relaxed towards what? The remembrance of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm sure every one of us bears witness to this miracle of the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from those really, who can develop goosebumps when we hear the Quran being recited and explained, and we feel that it's directed exactly to us. That's the miracle of the Quran, is if you are to sit and read it and understand it, it will seem like it is directed to you. Your problem is dealt in it. Every time someone talks about it, you're going to think, hey, does this man know what happened to me? But he doesn't. It's Allah who knows. And he knew it. And this is why he's covered absolutely everything. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. And may he make us from amongst those whose hearts can be softened towards his remembrance. Ameen. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something interesting regarding sleep. Today when we go to sleep, mashallah, you know, people take it for granted. You just perhaps throw your clothing that side, get into your PJs, and before you know it, you know, you're in your bed, you're complaining about the pillow, perhaps you're complaining about the blanket, and you know, you're doing this and doing that. Next thing you know, you're snoring. Then your wife is complaining. Allahu Akbar. And then what happens, because you don't believe it, she records it. And following morning when she says, what was this? And you say, this was the plane going to Khayelitsha. And you say, no, it was you snoring. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us ease and goodness. That's about how we look at sleep. We enjoy it, we relax. Wallahi, sleep is a great ni'mah and gift of Allah. And Allah says, do you know we take your soul when you are asleep? We take your soul. If death is written for you in your sleep, we keep that soul. So you die. And if death is not written, as soon as someone wakes you up, we send that, or as soon as you wake up, we send the soul back and you're out again. This is the explanation in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this in verse number 42 of Surah Zumar. If you read it, you get a shock. It means sleep is a small death, a certain type of extraction of the soul. How? Allah knows best. He didn't give us details. But medicine cannot explain it. That's one thing I can guarantee. It cannot explain it fully. It might come up with a little bit here and there, but never fully. They won't tell you how you dream and what happens and so on. Perhaps just ideas and suggestions. But guaranteed answer? No. Subhanallah. This is Allah's gift. Allah says they won't know. Amazing. So Allah says in that verse number 42, Allahu yatawaffa al-anfusa hina mawtiha. It is Allah who takes the souls away at the time of the death. Allah takes them away. وَالَّتِي لَمْ تَمُتْ فِي مَنَامِهَا. And he takes the souls away of those who have not died whilst they are asleep.
فَيُمْسِكُ الَّتِي قَضَى عَلَيْهَا الْمَوْتَ وَيُرْسِلُ الْأُخْرَى إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى.
So he keeps the souls of those whom death has been written in their sleep, and the others, he sends them back for a fixed portion of time. This is the power of Allah. This is why before you sleep, and this is the point I want to raise. We want peace in the Akhirah, don't we? Sort your matter out between you and Allah before you rest at night. Before you close your eyes, ask Allah's forgiveness. Say, Ya Allah, in amsakta nafsi faghfir laha. This was the dua of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take my soul away, forgive it. Before he slept, he said this dua. In amsakta nafsi faghfir laha. If you have taken my soul away in my sleep, then forgive it. وَإِنْ أَرْسَلْتَهَا فَاحْفَظْهَا بِحِفْظِكَ الَّذِي تَحْفَظُ بِهِ عِبَادَكَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And if you are going to send my soul back, then protect it with the same protection that you protect your righteous slaves by. What a powerful dua. So we should be making this dua before we sleep. That, oh Allah, I'm going to sleep. If you take my soul away, forgive it. Ya Allah, I have no option but to have hope in your mercy. Ya ilaha al-alamin. Look at us here. We are sitting with so much love, solely for the sake of Allah. Ya Allah, grant us from your mercy. So my brothers and sisters, never ever become oblivious of the fact that before you sleep, quickly make peace with Allah. Ask forgiveness, even if it is one sentence. But make that peace with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You never know. It might be the last time that you are going to close your eyes. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us and grant us a lesson from this powerful verse. So if we are at peace with Allah, by the will of Allah, when we enter the grave, we will be at utmost peace. And from this we also learn one of the easiest deaths. You see, death has a lot of pangs, what is known as sakarat. One of the easiest sakarat, when a person dies in their sleep, the sakarat are quite light. They are made quite easy because the soul is already extracted to a certain extent, and after that it's gone completely. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death in sujood, my brothers and sisters. And may He resurrect us in the same sujood. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us. Then Allah says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَا الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. One of the most beautiful verses which have in them perhaps the most hope than any other verse in the entire Quran. Verse number 53, 54, 55 of Surah Az-Zumar. Allah says, say, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my worshippers who have transgressed against themselves, never lose hope ever in the mercy of Allah. He will forgive all your sins. For indeed, He is most forgiving, most merciful. What a powerful verse. Allah is telling us, no matter what you've done, come, come, we're ready, we take you back. Allahu Akbar. Imagine today, we disown our own children because of one or two things they've done. May Allah protect us and resolve the matters. This, the mercy of Allah is far more than any suckling mother could ever have on that particular baby of hers. Far more. Do you see that a suckling mom would throw that child into hellfire? The answer is no. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu were then told, well, Allah is much more merciful upon every one of us than that mother could ever be upon that child. Have hope, my brothers and sisters. That is Allah. I have no option but going back to Him. Nor do you, nor do you. Subhanallah. You're going to Him, whether you like it or not. Have hope in His mercy. But remember, He says, verse number 54, 55, وَأَنِيبُوا إِلَىٰ رَبِّكُمْ وَأَسْلِمُوا لَهُ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ ثُمَّ لَا تُنصَرُونَ. You'd better turn back and you better surrender to Him before the punishment overtakes you, and then there will be no help. You won't be assisted. And then He says, وَاتَّبِعُوا أَحْسَنَ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمُ الْعَذَابُ بَغْتَةً وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Follow the goodness that has been revealed to you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before the punishment overtakes you unawares, suddenly, whilst you don't even know, you don't even realize, and then the punishment has come. People say, I'll repent, I'm still a bit young, you know, mashallah. When are you going to repent? Allah says, we give you a bit of a chance, we spoke about it yesterday. Remember, let us repent before our chances are depleted. May Allah grant us goodness. And then verse number 71 of the same surah, Surah Az-Zumar. Allah speaks of two groups of people. Az-Zumar means the groups. The groups that will be going into hellfire. And the groups that will be going into paradise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention of how they are going to go in. I'm sure we would be able to pick up the Quran translation this evening and see it. It's very easily understood. And it's very touching. May Allah bless us. The point I want to raise is, as the people of hellfire who are doomed, peace is snatched away, everything they had is gone, as they are entering hellfire, doomed forever, the angels will ask them a simple question. That is the question we have to learn from. Alam ya'tikum rusul. Didn't messengers come to you? Yatluna alaykum ayati rabbikum. Didn't they recite the verses of Allah to you? وَيُنذِرُونَكُمْ لِقَاءَ يَوْمِكُمْ هَذَا. Didn't they warn you that there's going to be a day that's going to come where people are going to be either this way or that way? Weren't you warned? And these people who are heading in that direction will say, indeed we were warned, but they would be doomed. They did not take heed. They took it lightly, not seriously. They did not even inch forward towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Brothers and sisters, we will not be from amongst those by the will of Allah. We refuse to enter hellfire by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what do we need to do? Inch closer to Allah. Ideally, we should be embracing whatever Allah has revealed. If due to some weakness, we are slow, let us always move in the right direction. Don't ever go back on your achievements. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. In Surah Ghafir, which is the next surah, Allah starts it by making mention of Ghufran, Ghafir al-Dhamb. He is the one who forgives the sins. Amazing. He says in that surah, that when those who engage in istighfar, engage in istighfar. You see, when I am saying astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, oh Allah, forgive me. Do you know the angels are making dua for me and for the believers? Allah says, يُسَبِّحُونَ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّهِمْ وَيُؤْمِنُونَ بِهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. The angels, a certain category of angels, they declare the praise of Allah and they believe in Allah and they are engaging constantly in seeking forgiveness on behalf of those who believe. What do they say?
رَبَّنَا وَسِعْتَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ رَحْمَةً وَعِلْمًا.
Oh Allah, your knowledge and your mercy encompasses absolutely everything.
فَغْفِرْ لِلَّذِينَ تَابُوا.
So Ya Allah, forgive those who are seeking forgiveness. When I say, Oh Allah, forgive me, there are angels saying, Oh Allah, forgive him. Amazing. When you say, Oh Allah, forgive me, there are angels saying, Oh Allah, forgive him. Amazing. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And they continue. They say, رَبَّنَا O our Rabb. The angels are telling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, calling out to him,
وَأَدْخِلْهُمْ جَنَّاتِ عَدْنٍ الَّتِي وَعَدْتَهُمْ.
Grant them the paradise that you have promised them, O Allah. They are asking your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Grant them the paradise you have promised them. And O Allah, let them be joined by their parents and their spouses and their offspring. Amazing. The angels are saying, Oh Allah, let these people be joined by their family members. People ask, will I see my family members? The answer is, yeah.
وَمَنْ صَلَحَ مِنْ آبَائِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجِهِمْ وَذُرِّيَّاتِهِمْ.
Those who are qualified from amongst the parents and the spouses and the children. Why qualified? They need to have similar qualities. They also need to ask for forgiveness. They also need to believe in Allah. They also need to be trying as best as they can. That is when they qualify as well. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us ease and goodness. Then, you know what they say? These angels continue asking for so many things for us on a daily basis.
وَقِهِمُ السَّيِّئَاتِ.
This means two things. Oh Allah, save them from committing sin or from doing evil. That's one meaning. The other meaning is, Oh Allah, save them from the consequences of their evil deeds. Now that you have forgiven them, they are asking for your forgiveness, Ya Allah. Save them from the consequences of their evil deeds. From this we learn so many things. One is the mercy of Allah. Two is, the fact that the angels pray for us. If we are seeking forgiveness, the angels pray for us. Let's seek forgiveness. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anna. That's a powerful dua to be made in these last days of Ramadan. Oh Allah, you are forgiving, you love to forgive, so forgive us. And another point we learn also, and this is extremely, extremely important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is drawing our attention to the fact that when we have evil deeds, sometimes those evil deeds result in an effect that will make us do other deeds or think in the wrong direction because we are being affected by the consequences of our evil deeds. So firstly, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to sit with his companions and then he used to say, أَعِذْنَا مِن شُرُورِ أَنفُسِنَا وَمِن سَيِّئَاتِ أَعْمَالِنَا. Oh Allah, we seek your protection. Protect us from the evil consequences of our own deeds. Allahu Akbar. The evil of our own deeds and the consequences of the bad deeds that we've done. Which means sometimes, obviously, this dua said by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but it is for us, not for him. He had no deeds that were less than perfect. With us, remember one thing, if we engage in sin, sometimes decision making will become wrong. We start thinking through the mind of the devil because the angels walk away. Those who are meant to be guiding us walk away. Those who are meant to be inspiring us are gone because we are full of the devil. We only think in that direction. So we have no pure thinking. Then you wonder, why did I make the wrong decisions? You know why? Because you were not on the right page with your own maker. You are on the page with the devil. So the devil inspired you how to think. This is why we should always tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya Allah, do not let the consequences of our evil deeds overtake us and affect us negatively. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, grant us ease and goodness, open our doors. Before we leave, some of my brothers here have asked me that, you know, Sheikh, why don't you shake everybody's hand? So they say, no, you know, Wallahi, it's got nothing to do with arrogance, it's got nothing to do with anything. Sometimes it's to do with the time. We're also a human being. But more than that, I want to share with you something this evening. And that is, my brothers and sisters, rather than shaking the hand of the one who delivered the message, let the message have shaken you. Allahu Akbar. Until we meet again, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabina Muhammad. Subhanallah bihamdih, subhanakallahumma bihamdih. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu.